Welcome to Sales Talk for CEOs. I'm glad you're here. I'll be interviewing CEOs who have successfully scaled their B2B sales organization. In each episode, I'll start by uncovering the sales background of each CEO, dig into the strategies they use to build their sales organization, and wrap it up with what the future holds. We'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly of scaling a sales organization. I'm your host, Alice Hyman. Okay, here we are on the expert series of Sales Talk for CEOs. And I am so excited today because I have been ranting about something that is so important to me. And I want to just state it here again. We are not going back to normal. There is no normal. We're not going back to before the pandemic. Things have changed. The future is now. We have to change with it. And sales organizations simply cannot continue to do what they have been doing the last 2 years, 3 years, the last 10 years. They have got to come into this future, which is now. Sales and marketing is broken. People keep telling us that their salespeople are not hitting their quota, that cold calling isn't working. Oh, some people still believe that it works. And yes, okay, it works to some degree, but they're giving us all of this information about what is not working. But we have to get to what is working. And that is different than anything you may have done before. But it's been around for a while. So let's talk about how we can change things. We have buyers who are digital. We have to be digital. And this is why I brought on Tim Hughes. Welcome, Tim.
Hi, Alex. Great to see you. Great to see you.
And I'm so excited. You have your new book, Social Selling. We'll be talking a little bit about that. Hold that up. Thank you. Good. And we'll put that in the show notes. We have got to help CEOs, Tim, to understand what they can do to bring their sales organizations into the future, what they can do to change the mindset, their own mindset first, right? We got to always start with ourselves. Change your own mindset. We can't do things the way we did 2, 3, 10 years ago, for sure. We have to change our own mindset and then help our company change because we simply must address the buyer. We have to meet the buyers where they are. Right? And we have to focus on the buyer, but our companies aren't doing that. So Tim, we're going to dive in and talk about how to help CEOs make these changes. And the first thing really that you talk about is it's digital, right? And we've got to pay attention to that. So CEOs need to empower their people to have digital conversations. Let's start there. Tell us about what that would look like.
Well, you know, the world has changed, Alice. And you know, in the past, what we did was that we interrupted people. We used interruptive methods. So cold calling, advertising, whatever. We interrupt you and you pitch. And now the buyer just won't put up with that. And there's so many things. I can block you. I don't take cold calls on my mobile. There's just so many things that just stops that, which is why the things are going down. But what marketing and sales do is that they seem to have this toolbox by the side of their desk, and all they do is just keep reaching into it and getting that back out again, rather than actually realizing, look, the buyers are digital. What can we actually do to be where the buyers are? So we talk about having digital conversations and walking digital corridors, because that's what we need to be doing now. We need to be empowering our people to go onto social. Not just LinkedIn. It could be, your clients.
Yeah,
may
people
not be
are
on
everywhere.
LinkedIn.
They're on TikTok. Yeah. They're on Snapchat. Facebook.
So I'm not saying that you. I'm not saying you need to be trained in LinkedIn. You need to be trained in social. You need to understand the psychology of the modern buyer and why they're doing some things. And so one of the things that what we find is that buyers don't like salespeople the way that it's been going for the last 20 or 30 years.
Well, the Gartner research proves it, right? People know that about business to consumer, but for business to business, the Gartner research is telling us, look, more and more people are saying, I'd like a seller-free buying experience.
Yes.
I'd like to be able to do it on my own.
And I actually don't think, and I actually don't agree with the Gartner. I actually don't think that people want a seller-free environment. They just don't like the sellers.
I think you're right about that. I think because the sellers don't help them buy,
Yes.
So they don't want them involved. And because of that, they want to try to do it on their own. Now, we both know that in a complex sale, you're not going to complete the sale without talking to someone at the company.
There has to be a conversation.
Or a sales engineer or something, right? Yes. There has to be some conversations. Yeah.
So what we're doing is that when we go onto social is we're trying to create a conversation. So there's three things that you need on social media. One is you need to have a great profile. A great profile as in what we call buyer-centric. So when a buyer looks at you, they go, that person looks interesting. That person could help me. And what we find is that if you do that right, buyers will actually walk towards you because they're looking for somebody that's actually going to help them. And so if you sit there and say, I've been in President's Club for the last 5 out of 6 years, you know, once I get my teeth into a customer, either they'll die or I die first. That won't get you very far today. What they're looking for is someone that's going to show expertise. So, you know, whenever we go into meetings, we say, I've been doing this for 5 years or I'm, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. But we know that people buy people. So we're looking for that human point. So where someone actually say, and they actually walk towards you. So for example, we have a client called Namos. They're a 100-person turnover Oracle reseller. A client saw them, said, I think you can help me. They walked towards a salesperson. There was a classic sales to prospect conversation. And that turned into a $2.6 million deal. Now, so this is not about, you know, there can be small deals going on LinkedIn, but we can also be large transactions or the start of a transaction in terms of the conversation. So it's about having that buyer-centric profile.
So that is the beginning of allowing a salesperson to have a conversation. So here's what I want to say to everyone who's listening, every CEO and everyone who supports a CEO in any way, and all the sales leaders out there. If you go on LinkedIn or any social media that your company uses right now and look at the profiles of your salespeople, first, you're going to find out that many of them don't even have a proper profile. It's incomplete. They don't have a photograph.
It will be a CV.
It's all about them. It looks like they're looking for a job, by the way. And it's nothing that is going to attract people to them. It's nothing that's going to engage people, make them curious, right? So number one, go out there and look and see how your company looks on social. How do your people present themselves? And get somebody to fix that. Get sales, marketing, everybody together to fix that. People should look great on LinkedIn or whatever social media, and they should have words and pictures that draw people in and help them build a tribe and build a network and build fans, right? So that's number one. So if you don't have that going on at your company, you are really missing the boat because people are literally bouncing off you. So if I say, oh gosh, you know, you guys should talk to Tim Hughes. He's fantastic. He really does a great job. Then you go to his LinkedIn profile. There's no banner. His picture is obviously 5 years old or 10 because he had hair then. Just kidding. And then he has all about him all over his profile. I'm like, how is this guy going to help me be better on social? He doesn't even know how to do it himself. So that is bad, bad news. So that doesn't help start a conversation. It repels people. So if we want to start digital conversations, which is what any social platform is about, social platforms are not a billboard. They are not about advertising. They are not about pushing, pushing, pushing. They're about conversation. All right. So if they've got a great profile, Tim, then how do we get our salespeople and everyone at our company who should be on social media to help draw our audience to us, right? How do we get them to start conversations with people? Because what we don't want to do is connect and spam, right?
Yeah. So the second thing that they need is to have a wide and varied network. And that's about you building out contacts in the people you want to influence. So the accounts you want to sell to. It may be that so when I've worked, my background is B2B enterprise. So you might have a KPMG or a PwC who might influence. Again, build, right. They're actually people that you want to influence. So what you do is you build out a network. Now, what you do, you don't go to them and say, buy my product because we're great. Because you're just
connect with me and then buy my stuff because you don't even know if they need your stuff.
Yeah, and that's just classic interruption marketing. This is about having a conversation. What you need to do, just the same as if I was in a networking event and I walked up to you, Alice, and say, hi, Alice, you know, have you traveled far today? Well, actually, you know, the traffic was really bad and I was in this meeting. And it's a conversation just like we've always had conversations. Now, LinkedIn allows you to send, it's about 200 or 250 connection requests a week. That's 200 or 250 opportunities per person in your organization to have a conversation. Now, it isn't just the people in sales. One of the things that we do is that we work with account-based marketing teams, where what we do is we get the marketing people to connect to the marketing people in the accounts they want to sell to, the finance people to connect to the finance people. So when there's that meeting and they go, oh, we're looking for a particular product, they go, hey, have you seen that? Oh, yeah, I talked to so-and-so and you know, she's really interesting in that. And they're not necessarily in sales, but what you're doing is that you're surrounding them with nice people, and they're nice people to do business with. And the third thing that we need is content. And the reason why we need content is a couple of things. We know that buyers are online looking for advice. You know, that board report, well, I'm not going to write one myself, am I? I'm going to go onto social media and find one and then change it around. Or, you know, I'm going to buy, you know, the top 10 things I need to know about buying a payroll system or something like that. I'm looking for information. We do it whether we're buying cars or whether we're buying million-dollar IT systems. So you need to be putting out content. It needs to be authentic. Please, no brochures. Nobody's interested in the brochure. You've never bought anything off a brochure, and neither will your clients. White papers, again, it's just people saying, buy my product because it's great. We don't read them. What we're looking for is advice, something that's going to help us.
Right, advice and insight. And that's what the salespeople's job is. You know,
this is a great example, Alice, of where you're providing insight and content. Right. And you're not saying, these are the 10 things that I can do for your organization. The person will say, Alice, I watched your podcast. It was really interesting. Now tell me the 10 things that you can do. Right. And that's what you're doing, is you're switching round the conversation to get people to walk towards you and say, that was really interesting. Can you help me? And that's what you're doing. You're using your profile. You look good. You're using your network and building out to influence. And you're using content as a way of getting those conversations and sharing your expertise. And this isn't just about sitting and waiting. You're doing this in a proactive way, just as you did with cold calling and with email.
So what we have to do as leaders of companies is go out and see what our people are actually doing now on social media. And then we have to move them towards this kind of networking. So don't think of LinkedIn as a billboard, a place to advertise, or just a place to snoop on people and see what they're up to and learn about them, which it is very good for, by the way, to get that intel so that you can have better conversations. But it is a place to have conversations. So like a trade show, you commented earlier, walking the digital corridors, right? So just as we would walk through a coffee shop, walk through a networking event, or walk through a trade show, LinkedIn or other social media, you are walking through the digital corridors. And what you're not going to do is blurt out everything that you can do for people, or, you know, spam them with long messages and ask them for something before they even know who you are. What you're going to do is walk up to them.
I remember,
you know, conversation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a salesperson, you know, I would get let into the corporate headquarters of the company I was trying to sell to. I would walk the corridors and say, I want to talk to the guy in finance, knock on the door. Hi, you don't know me, but could I just have a quick 5 minutes? And they say, yeah, come in, sit down. But it would be a conversation. And, you know, when you walked in that room, you'd see the fact that there was a map on the back of the wall, and you'd say, oh, Tim, are you interested in maps? You know, or fly fishing pictures. And you know, we've been doing, it's like we need new skills. Actually, we're using skills that we have done for the last 20 or 30 years. You know, if you come to my LinkedIn profile, you see that I've done some charity cycle rides. Well, hi, Tim. I see you've done some charity cycle rides. That's really interesting. Do you know I live cycling at the weekend? Oh, that's really great. You have that conversation, and you find that the thing where you have that crossover and
things
then,
in common. People, humans like common. To have something in common with
and
the
then you start liking and building trust with people. Right. And when you're front of mind, who are they going to turn to? The people they know and trust.
That's right. So we have to build these networks so they're there when we need them. Now, everybody you connect with on LinkedIn is not a person who can buy from you, but they are people who can potentially buy, but there certainly may be people who can introduce you. And today, where cold outreach is giving us such minimal results, okay, it's working. Like, if you consider 1% good, then great. Then you go after it.
Alice, I don't understand why boards are signing off budget on things that are giving a 97, 98, or 99% failure rate.
Right, exactly.
I don't understand why a board would ever commit to something like that.
Right. But the key here is that the old behavior doesn't work anymore. You need new behavior. And the very best way, right, the very best way to get into a new account and to get deeper into an existing account is through introductions. If I say, oh, Tim, I really would like you to meet Ben. And I introduce you and I say, you know, Tim is terrific. I know you guys will have so much to talk about. So I'm going to let you take it from here. Right. That introduction is key. Now, if you are not connected in your digital network to enough people, it's going to be really hard to get introductions. Or if you connected and then spammed me, I'll never give you a connection because I know you're going to do that to the next person. But if you connect and like then connect, you know, what do we have in common? Let me comment on what you're posting and add my take on it. Mm-hmm. And then we have a private conversation in the messaging section, or we get on the phone, or we get on email together. Now I can move this relationship forward, right? And that can come of something, right? It may turn into business, or it might turn into an introduction to someone who can buy from me or someone who can help me in some other way. So if you are not doing this, I mean, and this is not new. We've been saying this, you know, those of us out there who knew the world was moving this way have been saying it for a long time, but amazing that people haven't caught up. They're still doing activities that don't work. So get the profiles right, make them engaging, make them inspiring, bring people in, connect to people who you actually really know in real life, and then people who you have things in common with, and then start those conversations by posting great content and responding and reacting to content that others post. That's like the bare minimum. And if your salespeople and your marketing people and your senior leaders aren't doing that, you are missing business and you're making sales harder than it has to
be. You're leaving money on the table.
Yes.
And the critical thing is the empowerment. Because I've spoken to CEOs and they say, well, aren't my people doing that already? Surely they know that. And that was the CEO of a company that sold social media software. And I said, no, they're not. And the reason for that is that, you know, when I worked in the corporate world, if you went onto social media and posted, you got fired.
Right.
Right. what happened was that the only way that you could go onto social media was to be media trained. And then what happened was that the next day they said, now you can go on post and go onto social media and post. And everyone went, it's a trick. Yeah. Yesterday, if I went on social media, today they're saying, it's a trick. I'm not going to do it. And people are scared. People are scared about saying the wrong thing. You know, we've all seen the news where someone goes on and they say something and it all blows up and they get fired. People are scared. And one of the things that we've done in the past when there's processes that people need to learn about, diversity, health and safety, inclusion. What we've done is that we've trained them. We've given them guide rails to allow them to say, when things get difficult, you can grab hold of these things because that's what's going to help you. And it's not just a case of somebody saying, you need to get social. We see so many sales. I get so many salespeople come to me saying, my sales leader has said, I need to get social. What does it mean? Because, and what we need to do is empowerment by and giving people the structure and the framework and a methodology in which to work to.
Yes, they need the structure and the framework. This is not a do-it-yourself, figure-it-out-yourself thing. It's something that people need to be trained to do. But I'm going to say something that's going to be very unpopular. CEOs, senior leaders, lead by example. If you Yes. want your teams to be digital, you have got to be digital. And I know, you know, that the CEOs do not want to have to spend time on LinkedIn. I get it, right? But imagine if they did. Imagine if they were the example for their company, then the salespeople wouldn't be afraid and they wouldn't shirk off doing it. They'd be like, oh, no, you know, it's not important. It's not getting me deals. But it is getting deals.
It's a classic change situation, which is, if the leader isn't doing it, the other people are going, well, the leader's not doing it. I'm not doing it.
None of the leaders are doing it. The marketing people are the worst. The marketing people,
they are. They are.
And their own profiles are not up to date. Their own profiles are not interactive. They're not engaging. Be the leader that, you know, you show people the way.
But if you look at people like Julie Sweeter, who's the CEO of Accenture, or Bernard Looney, who's the CEO of BP, Bernard has done an amazing job at repositioning BP in the world. The BP is an oil company with a little bit of net zero stuff. He's repositioned BP as a net zero company who does a little bit of oil. Whereas Shell, whose CEO isn't so good, is still seen as being an oil company with a little bit in net zero. What Julie Sweet was able to do at Accenture during COVID was, they've got 200,000 employees in India. Yeah. When COVID hit India, they had 20,000 people off. 20,000 people that, and you know the difficulty of what they were having in India in terms of getting oxygen and stuff. And of course, those people were probably delivering projects. She was able to go onto LinkedIn immediately and say, we are donating, I can't remember what it was, sorry, Julie, this amount of money into the India COVID scheme, and be able to do it like that. And immediately everyone said, good on Accenture. That's the type of company I want to work for.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying that from a cynical perspective. You know, she's able to turn around on a dime, and so is Bernard Looney, and actually just define the narrative of the industry by being out there and actually saying things. What I would say that they're still not very good at doing is, it's still very corporate. It's still a lot of buy my stuff because we're great.
Well, there are some great CEOs out there.
What they're not doing is being authentic enough.
Yeah, there are some great CEOs out there. I'll try to put a few in the show notes that are doing a good job, but I really believe the CEOs need to be the thought leaders. And that brings us to another point that you talk about, which is looking to see who are the thought leaders in your industry. And, you know, when you and I were young, as we were talking about before we started recording, there were industry journals and things that we got mailed to us, right? And we would want to see who got to write an article, who got to author an article from which company, right? And like you were saying, if it was our competitor, then the marketing team was in big trouble. So now everyone can publish great content and can espouse their thoughts, right? Whether you want to be called a thought leader or not, you can still add advice and insight on social media. And we need to look to see who in our industry is doing that. Salespeople should be following them and interacting with them, because those people certainly could be making introductions for us if we got to be friendly with them. But if our CEOs and senior leaders would be those leaders in the industry, it would certainly draw our ideal customers to us. So what is it that people should be doing, Tim?
Well, I mean, the simple thing would be to get the CEO to run a podcast. I mean, it's very simple to, you know, the technology that we use, a live stream. Why would they want to do that? Well, there's a lot of talk in social media about influencers, And a lot of that is business to consumer rather than necessarily business
to business. Right. But it's starting to be very popular in business to business to have influencers.
It is. And the thing about influencers, why is an influencer important? Is people turn to them and look for their advice. And so what you'll find is, I mean, we always ask the question of all the companies that we go into is, who is the leading technical and commercial influencer in your market or vertical? And the answer to that usually will be, I don't know, there isn't one. Like, well, why not? Why isn't it you? Because then what you're doing is that you're defining the narrative. You're defining you're the person setting the agenda in the marketplace about the business processes that you solve. You know, I was talking to someone recently who's got this piece of AI, and their biggest competitor is chatbots. They don't do chatbots. And you can imagine that. And I said, so why are you not defining the marketplace and pushing all the chatbot people out and talking to them? So what should a podcast be about? Get your customers on. Get your suppliers on. Get your employees on. You know, there's lots of things that you could be talking about. Don't script it. This is about just like you and me talking.
Yeah, just have a conversation, right? And let people see who you are as humans, because humans want to do business with humans.
Yes, and that's what we want, you know. And why do we want to do that? Because this is about reaching out to your prospects. This is about your customers. This is about your employees. This is about your future employees. Your future employees are searching on social media, looking to see whether you are the right company to work for. The same as the modern job hunter and the modern buyer are the same people. We work and use social media in the same way. Now, the type of people that you want to get into your company are the people that are not looking for work right now. They're people sitting there at the what's that? What's that? Oh, that's a podcast. Oh, that's a CEO. That's interesting. Oh, wow. They've got someone talking about diversity, and then they've got someone talking about the new project they've won. Oh, that's really good. Oh, I quite like to work there. And you know, I quite like to be a supplier there. And this is where what we're doing is that we're using social. It's not just about sales. It's also about human resources. It's about procurement. It's about finance. You know, it could be a person thinking about investing in your organization. It's
exactly. About looking at,
yeah, you know, whether it's a VC or whether it's someone looking to buy your shares. Whether you're big or small, this is what people do on social media. And this is how you can set the agenda, and you as a CEO can basically define the marketplace and get new customers and new employees.
Well, your digital imprint matters, whether you believe it or not. Your digital imprint matters because you're attracting people to you. Like you said, you might be attracting the next people who invest in your company. You might be attracting your next employees. You might be attracting your next CEO. You are certainly going to attract people who can buy from you and people who can influence others to buy from you. So again, why wouldn't you care about your digital imprint? Why wouldn't you get out there and sell the way people want to buy? Buyers are digital. They find you on the internet. And they look at your imprint and they make decisions about you, and you're giving them a bad impression.
So we've got a client called CyberHawk. They're a drones company. The whole of the C-suite are on social media. And they did that before the salespeople. So the CEO, the COO, the CMO, the CRO, we've just trained the CIO and the CFO. So the CFO is forming connections with the people that he wants within audit companies and with the companies that he wants to invest. The CIO is connecting with other CIOs because he wants to know what products they should be buying and what they should be investing in. So this is not just about a conversation, I want to sell you something. It's a conversation of, so Alice, you use Microsoft Dynamics. What do you think about it?
Yeah. Exactly,
and so what we've done there is that is that we've got all of those people out there on social media. Now, when buyers or prospects or future employees see them out there on social media, that's when they say, that's the organization I want to work for. But also what we've done is that we've built them, the third thing for me is digital dominance. This is about taking all of those things and owning the narrative out there on social media. So in the past, we would have probably employed a PR agency to send out press releases and stuff like that. It, you know, interesting, but kind of a bit analog. You know, we need to take control of our digital narrative, the narrative about we're a sustainable company, the narrative about we are a diverse company, a narrative that we support ability and disability, all of the things that we want to have. I was talking to someone recently in a big corporate. They've got diversity programs and women's groups and all of these things. And I say, it must be great working for you. And he says, we can't get anybody to come and work here. I said, well, why not? He says, I don't know. And I said, do you think it's because you don't tell anybody about all this stuff? And he says, well, yeah, I guess it probably is. And they're all sitting there scared. They're scared. The training budget has never been cut. You could go on, you can have your MBA, you can have whatever paid for at that company, but they can't get anybody to go and work there because nobody knows about it.
Best kept secret doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, isn't that the worst thing that someone could say about your company?
Oh my gosh, the worst thing. But here's another crazy idea. What if we canned all of the SDRs? All of them, SDRs, you can become salespeople now. We won't can you. We'll promote you to being real salespeople and you don't have to dial for dollars anymore or send tons and tons of emails or do any of the things you're doing because the CEO would be the chief lead generator and the other senior people on the team would be chief lead generators. Why? Because their digital footprint is such that they're engaging people, that they're making people curious, they're having conversations, and they're drawing people to this company. And they're out there making sure they're not the best kept secret. Honestly, I think we make sales so hard. We make it so much harder than it has to be because we don't do simple things. Like, okay, maybe the CEO is an introvert and the last thing they want to do is be on social media. Okay, find someone else at your company then that's going to be your evangelist and your chief lead generator. But think how much easier it would be if the senior people opened the doors. They were the door openers. Mm-hmm. And then the salespeople came in to make the opportunity work, right? So you open the doors, senior leaders. Salespeople come in, do a great job of understanding and solving and bringing insight. And they take that process and help that buyer make a great decision to buy from you. And then as they become your customer, it's great onboarding and they're a customer for life now, right? Because these senior leaders open the door, not by selling, but by having conversations and drawing people into their network, into their fold, into their tribe, right? And how much easier would selling be? And you know what's funny, Tim, is when people start companies, they do this. Founders do founder-led selling, and it works. What breaks down is when they start to hire their first salespeople, and those salespeople can't get the doors open. And the founder says, I do all the selling. I have to open all the doors. That's right, because you're the founder. Why not use your skills that way? But yet we don't. And you know, this brings me to the last thing that I want to talk with you about today, which is digital dominance. And think about like this company you just explained to us where the senior leaders are online talking to people like themselves and having conversations. This would lead us to digital dominance.
It's really interesting the way that they're a small organization, you know, 150, 200 people. And what they've been able to do is get into, get into some organizations where you wouldn't normally get into, you know, big oil companies, where to try and get into those, you just can't do that through cold calling. Right. And they've been able to actually get into them, have conversations, and then get work.
Right.
And I think that's the when people see, when people are on their LinkedIn profile or on Twitter or whatever, and they see things scrolling by, you make a decision to go, I don't like that person, don't like that person, that's boring, that's boring, that's boring. And what you do is you want to be the person that where he goes, oh, that's Alice. Oh, I love her stuff. Oh yeah, it's thought provoking, but it's, you know, it's interesting. And what you want to do is to be that standout. And then what happens is that will actually attract people. And it's about then you're owning the narrative, you're owning the marketplace and the way that, you know, ultimately the way that people think about that market.
Wow. Absolutely. So leave us with the keys to digital dominance. Just give us, I don't know, one, two or three things that are the keys to digital
dominance. So really it goes back to those three things that you need, which is first thing that you need to have to look good on social. You need a buyer central profile, because if you're going to do anything on social, if you look like a spammer, you'll get treated like a spammer. If you look like a salesperson, if you've got CV, obviously it looks like you're looking for a job. So, you know, what you need is a buyer-centric profile. You need to have a network of people, not just in the people that you're trying to sell to, but the people that you're trying to influence. The bigger and the wider and the more varied that is, the better. Mm-hmm. And the third thing that you need is content. It's about things that people, you know, these are the business issues that we can solve. This is about finding, this is where people will find you because they're searching for the content and going, that person can help me. Then if you're connected in the network, you go, oh yeah, he knows Alice. Well, if he knows Alice, he's got to be okay. Yeah. And then you look at the person's profile. They look right. They know what they're talking about. And you would walk towards them.
Right.
Can you help me with this situation? And that fundamentally transforms sales and marketing today in terms of this constant pushing of messages and rubbish at people that people totally ignore.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to stop doing it. We simply have to stop. It's just amazing. I will say that this does take a mindset shift. I started with that and we'll end with that. You know, that we are not going back to normal. I don't even know what normal is.
It's a bit like we've walked through into a room and then the door shuts behind us. And then we can't change. We've got to carry on walking.
Right.
And you know, the world has changed so much. I don't think we realize how much it's changed.
Right.
But COVID has changed the world, changed society.
Forever.
It's certainly changed the way of business.
So we have to build the new way, the better way. We're not going back. The things we did in the past, most of them don't work. Some of them do. Bring those forward. That's fine. But it is a mindset shift. And today, to win in sales, to get the sales you need, to get loyal customers, you have to think about digital dominance. So, Tim, thank you so much for being the show today. It's
You're
been
welcome.
Such a pleasure. And again, the book is called Social Selling.
Techniques to Influence Buyers and Changemakers.
Yes, techniques to influence buyers and changemakers. We want to influence buyers, right? So get the book. Talk to Tim. He can help you out some more with
this. Come and talk to me on LinkedIn or Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Find him on social media, connect, but be sure you tell him that you heard him on the podcast with Alice on Sales Talk for CEOs.
Yes, please.
And thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to Sales Talk for CEOs. You can find me at alicehyman.com. Be sure and connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know that you heard the show. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe, write a review, and share the show with another CEO.